This is John Pappas. I want to welcome you to our study in Messianic Christology, the Second Coming of Christ. Heavenly Father, we do come before you to thank you for your word and this study. And so we ask that you would guide us through your word today. Be with us and just bless us through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Last time we looked at some of the distinctions of the priesthood in Ezekiel chapter 44 and 45, in the priesthood in the feast days. So the millennium system is different than the Mosaic system. That's the big point that we have been going through as we go through this. So you see in your handout, the top section talks about the physical distinctions, and then last time we looked at the worship distinctions of the temple. Very different from the Mosaic system. Ezekiel's temple is missing the Ark of the Covenant, no pot of manna, no Aaron's rod of bud, no table of the law, no cherubim, no mercy seat, no golden candlestick, no showbread, no veil, no unapproachable holy of holies where only the high priest enters. And then we saw also the Levites have passed from the sacred order to a different order. So only the Zadok priests are allowed to minister to the Lord of glory in this new Ezekiel temple as he dwells on his throne in the sanctuary. So very different, very different. And the Jews didn't throw Ezekiel away. So there's something different. They anticipated a millennial worship. So there's no evening sacrifice. The temple singers, that's a whole different ballgame that's in this temple. And the feast days are reduced from 7 down to 3. So Passover, Tabernacles, and this new day, similar to kind of the Jewish New Year's celebration. But it's on the first day. It's on the New Year's Day. And then there's no Day of Atonement and no Pentecost. Then there's this prince. This prince, very different. The prince is very different. He is not the high priest, but he's both royal priest. He has royalty and priesthood both wrapped up in his duties, and he's placed in a very special place. And so that's kind of interesting, and the Jews anticipated. They didn't throw Ezekiel away, saying it wasn't Mosaic. They kept it because it wasn't Mosaic. They knew it and recognized him as being something different. They anticipated the millennial worship. So today we look at something very cool, and we look at the manner of worship in Ezekiel chapter 46. So let's get right into that. And keep the back of your handout ready, because we're going to look at the temple area. So Ezekiel 46, verse 1. Thus says the Lord God, the gateway of the inner court that faces toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and on the day of the new moon it shall be opened. The prince shall enter by way of the vestibule to the gateway from the outside, and stand by the gatepost. The priest shall prepare his burnt offerings and his peace offerings. He shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go out, but the gate shall not be shut until evening. So here we have a description of this east gate. The east gate is of the inner court, not the outer court, which the east gate is permanently sealed. This is the east gate for the inner court. Look at verse 3. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the entrance to this gateway before the Lord on the Sabbaths and the new moons. The burnt offerings that the prince offers to the Lord on the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish and a ram without blemish. And he goes on and on about these offerings that are to be offered. So, just to kind of summarize this area of Scripture, this millennial celebration of the Sabbath is to be observed. And what is the Sabbath? The Sabbath was a sign between the Lord and Israel. And it was a perpetual reminder of really the nation's separation to God. That's what the Sabbath is, separation to God. But it looked forward to a Sabbath rest that they would experience. And most importantly, it points to this millennial rest that they have. But look at that. They celebrate this Sabbath. They celebrate the Sabbath day, where they enjoy redemption in our Lord, the grace of God. But notice the order is present here in this millennial worship. It's very prominent. It doesn't go away. It's eternal. Skip down to verse 9. Verse 9, it says, "But when the people of the land come before the Lord on the appointed feast days, whoever enters by way of the north gate to worship shall go out by way of the south gate. And whoever enters by way of the south gate shall go out by way of the north gate. He shall not return by way of the gate which he came, but he shall go through the opposite gate." Notice that. They enter through the north gate, the exit through the south gate. There is order prescribed in the millennial worship. Sometimes I wonder about our churches and in our church order. We don't really have a prescribed order like God gives Israel. And this is a look at Messianic Christology. So this is really not for the Goyim. This is for Israel. And that's why the details that we find here in this millennial worship concentrate on Israel and the things that Israel is to do. But notice that there is order in this millennial worship. Continue going, skip down to verse 16. The prince and inheritance laws. These are going to be very different also. Here's what happens. "Thus says the Lord God, if the prince gives a gift of some of his inheritance to any of his sons, it shall belong to his sons. It is their possession by inheritance." Their possession by inheritance. Look at this picture as illustration on the back. And we see the... I gave you the wrong picture. You should see the princes section, and I don't see the princes section here on this illustration. But the prince gets a portion, very different from what you would have in the Mosaic context. And it is assumed that he's going to have some kind of rules that are similar to the Levites. In other words, Levites didn't have any land, but he's kind of in that area where he's kind of priestly in nature. Did you find something? He's got his the prince's portion. It's not real clear where that is. There was another one that was described. I guess that's outside of this area. I had a little clearer illustration. But look at what his inheritance are. Kind of similar to rest of Israel under the Mosaic system. Verse 17. "But if he gives a gift of some of his inheritance to one of his servants, it shall be his until the year of liberty." That is the Jubilee year. Land must go back to the tribe. You remember that? Land must go back to the tribe, must stay within the tribe. "After which it shall return to the prince. But his inheritance shall belong to his sons." So it shall become there. So if he gives it to his sons, it stays there. If he gives it to servants, it has to come back to the family. It has to be the sons. That's the idea there. And verse 18, "Moreover, the prince shall not take any of the people's inheritance by the evicting of them from their property. He shall provide an inheritance for his sons from his own property, so that none of his people may be scattered from his property." So there's not going to be the idea of evicting people from a land so you can steal the property. That's the idea here. This is contrast the prince of old where he would be allowed to allot land outside his inheritance. So, you know, land given to sons would be permanent, not given, anything not given to the son is to be given back to them. And so every 50 years they would get that property back, but it's to stay within the family. And it's not to be like the princes of old who would steal land for their own good. That's one of the promises that we find in the Old Testament. God will, in the kingdom, his princes won't abuse their authority. Very, very different. I'm going to skip down to chapter 47 now and get into a very interesting little section. Very spiritual in nature. I was excited to get to this section. So we finally hear chapter 47, verse 1. This is the healing waters and the tree that's in the kingdom. Notice what happens here. This is really cool. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. Okay, let me finish verse 2. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around to the outside of the outer gateway that faces the east, and there was water running out on the right side. So here we have this Ezekiel is described to, he leaves the north gate. Remember, the east gate's locked. You can look at your illustration here. And then he goes around to the east gate, which is locked, to see this river flowing out. And you see it in this illustration here on the back. And so here's the east gate, and it's flowing out. And notice the source is right there at where the Lord's throne is. And so that's the picture that we have here. Now look at what happens with this water. Look at verse 3. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, remember that line is the measuring line, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again he measured 1,000. He brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was the river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim. A river that could not be crossed. Verse 6, he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me to the and returned me to the bank of the river. So you get the picture. It's a pretty deep and big water. But it's this river that's flowing from the temple wouldn't occur today because it would be going uphill, essentially. But the topology is different, so everything is flowing properly, and it's abundantly flowing from its source. Look at verse 7. When I returned there along the banks of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, the water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Look at that. Its waters are healed. Okay, the sea there he's talking about is the Dead Sea. This salt sea, if you will. It's healed. It's the water now can support fish. And we'll see that in just a bit. But the Dead Sea is what he's talking about. And you'll notice in the illustration there are two branches after it comes out of the temple. That's not a river that's widening. It's actually two branches. One goes to the Dead Sea. The other one goes to the Mediterranean. We'll see that in a minute. But there's going to be living water here and lots of fishes in here. Look at verse 9. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go, rivers plural, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. So you get the idea. It's a healing water. The promise of old about healing water will come to fruition here. And then verse 10, it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kind as the fish of the great sea, that is the Mediterranean Sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. Ooh, look at that. They will be given over to salt. Wow. So not everything is healed here. Apparently, the Dead Sea is maybe it's brackish. It's healed. I don't think it's going to be fresh water, maybe, because it describes fish like the Mediterranean Sea. So it will be. Right now, nothing lives in the Dead Sea. So maybe it will be kind of like any sea, a natural sea. Where lots of fish can live. But it's not all healed. The swamps and the marshes are not healed. They are given over to salt. So some sin still exists, and it may be that salt still exists. You may need salt for some reason. But look at next verse. Verse 12, along the bank of the river on the side and on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Food, abundant food, never goes, it's never wanting of fruit. Their fruit will be for food. Look at that. And the next one. And their leaves for medicine. Some of your translations have healing instead of medicine. Most translations have medicine there. But the word is healing. And it's can be either spiritual or physical healing. Spiritual or physical. So here are these trees. Fruit for the food and leaves for medicine to heal people. And you remember John, the book of John speaks about living waters in a very special sense. It kind of flows from Joel. Look at your handout, Joel chapter 3. Some 250 years earlier than Ezekiel, Joel writes this, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water the valley of Acacias." So here he is 250 years before this, talking about a fountain flowing from the house of the Lord, the temple. And then look at Zechariah 14, verse 8. "And in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea and half towards the western sea." There's where that river divides. "In both summer and winter it shall occur, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one and his name one." And so you understand when you read the book of John, when he talks about living water, it has a precedence which exists in the Old Testament that they understood. And he places it into a spiritual sense, into a very spiritual sense. But what does John also do? The Gospel of John also heals people. And when he's healing people, he heals those who can't hear, right? He heals those who can't see. Just beautiful metaphor of the physical healing, all encapsulated in the healing water that heals one spiritually, a new heart. very beautiful thing. Look at John on your handout here, John 7:37 through 39, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." I wonder what feast day this is. I don't have the text. I don't remember. Verse 38, and he who believes in me is this, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Look at that. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. See, it's directly, it's Spirit. Whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not, had not been glorified. So he relates it to this spiritual sense and really to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit who heals. what is the answer to our problems? Well, you know, to a great extent, salvation and the blessing that the Holy Spirit brings. Very, very big picture. But notice in this section, let me just kind of summarize here. And then
it's the tabernacles.
It's the tabernacles.
According to Chuck Smith.
Look at that. Tabernacles. That's one of the celebrated, the tabernacles, which celebrates tabernacling with God. And so here he is talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, the millennium. It really specifically speaks about the millennium. And so there's that living water presentation. Wow, thank you.
According to Chuck Smith's sermon.
Very good. I believe it. Okay, so let me, as you can see here, not all things are healed. There's a little bit of sin. Not everything is healed. It's not complete. But this should not be confused with Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. So here in the millennium, you have the river, and you have trees. And Revelation chapter 22 is the eternal state. And here's what Revelation 22 verse 1 says. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on the other side of the river was the tree of life. Look at that. This is the eternal state. That, remember the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. So very similar when we get the new heavens and new earth to the millennium, but a little different. In the millennium, you have a little bit of sin. Not everything is healed. We're going to get there probably in two sessions, and talk about the new heavens and new earth. But getting back to your handout, look at your handout, and we're going to close with this and see what you have, any questions. But this healing really speaks of what Christ did in his first coming, when he healed people. That was an illustration of something very big. You know, the miracle said, "Hey, look, notice me. I'm not normal. I am a messenger from God." That's what the miracle says. But the type of healing that he does in some cases, the blind see. Look at this. Isaiah 35, 5 through 7. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Can you imagine? Healing waters. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Eyes opened, ears unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer. Talking about the healing in the kingdom. We're going to look at how long life expectancy is, about, you know, 1,000 years. And the tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass and reeds and rushes. So healing in a very, very special way in the millennial kingdom, in the millennial age. And you see by this illustration the source of that healing, the most important part of that illustration, the source of the healing is our Lord Jesus. Right there, it comes from the throne of God, our Lord Jesus. Wow. I just want to open, see if you have any questions, comments. We got just a couple of minutes.
a couple, this might be more than a couple minutes, but at least I'll say the questions.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked about how there will be some sin still in millennial time. Maybe there will still be death for those people.
Yep.
Because the idea of an inheritance, with it comes the idea that you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, but typically your inheritance goes to someone
mm-hmm.
after you die.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a different rule or precedence here, I don't know. But then if the servant, after so many years of servant, will return it to you,
mm-hmm.
that means you're still alive.
Back to the family.
Back to the family, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that whole idea of inheritance and death in the millennial reign, that's something that, you know, it makes sense that that still exists. I just don't understand.
Okay, so next time we're going to look at the distribution of land. And the distribution of land is very different from what it was distributed mm-hmm. in Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mosaic distribution of land and Ezekiel's distribution, the millennial distribution of land, very, very different. We'll see that next time.
One other quick note. You talked about how the waters will flow into the Dead Sea and it will heal the sea, heal
yep.
the water. Is that a one-time event where once it happens, it's healed, or does it have to continue?
Is it
or
continuing?
Do we know? Or do we know? Maybe it's
I
not
don't
clear
know.
Here.
I don't know. I would say, just off the top of my head, maybe smarter, but I think it's continuous because
mm-hmm.
he provides life mm-hmm. continuously. You know, I mean, that's the way he talks when he talks about you have your. I supply you until you breathe your last.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that may be representative of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's healed instantly, but it's kept. Mm-hmm. You know, the earth is, the Colossians, earth is kept moment by moment.
Is there a time when this temple will no longer be used? Is this only the millennial?
This is only a millennial
only
temple.
Millennial. So that,
we'll
okay,
find a
so
different
that,
temple coming down out of heaven, a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven.
And this will be obsolete. That's what I'm picturing, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
That was what it was.
Yeah. Not next time, but the time after that, we're going to get back to the book of Revelation and see the end of this kingdom age, rebellion in the new heavens, new earth. And then we'll talk about. The church, because this hadn't talked about the church, do we? We've been talking about Jewish things here. Where's the church?
We're not here, but yeah, we come back to rain. We'll talk. I don't want to steal your thunder.
yeah, we'll talk about that. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for your word, and we just ask that you would help us understand these things, Lord. So be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.